You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the show that goes around the horn with your Minnesota Twins, with insight from the decision makers in the dugout and in the front office. It's Inside Twins. Inside Twins is sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
And we wish you a good Sunday morning, Twins territory. Twins and the Tigers coming up here today from Comerica Park in Detroit, Michigan. Twins seek a series win. It'll be Bailey Ober today for the Twins and Jack Flaherty on the mound for the Tigers. I'm Corey Provis. We thank you for joining us for Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. And our guest on our Sunday show today is Twins bench coach Jace Tingler. Jace, as always, thank you for your time. And yesterday we began with some somber news with the injury announcement on Carlos Correa. But to the team's credit, they came back and put together two really entertaining games and two wins and a good way to answer back in the series.
Yeah, it was a long day. And like you said, we got some, I'd say, disappointing, sad news, however you want to describe it, in the morning. So I think the theme, just we got done with the game, just really proud of our group, the way we continue to play the long battle. Game one, I think it went 12 innings, and then coming back and playing well in game two and getting both. So I just thought it was a really good job, just up and down all throughout the players. They did a great job going out and playing 21 innings of baseball yesterday.
Let's start with game two if we can, and Simeon Woods Richardson picking up his first big league win. Six strong innings, retired the final 14 men he faced in the lineup yesterday. Even going back to spring training, you've seen Simeon before. What stood out when he saw him in camp for the first time?
Well, obviously, I think the easiest thing to see is the spike in velo, the gain in velocity. But I think a little bit behind the curtains, you talk to the strength coaches, you talk to the minor league pitching coaches, and it's just been a 180 turnaround. He's been dedicated in the weight room. He's not missing any programs. He's lifting hard. He's running hard. He's putting in the extra work. And a lot of guys put in, the work. It's great for Simeon specifically, to put in the work. And now he's starting to get the results. And so you kind of hope that springboards the momentum that he continues going down this path, because I think he showed yesterday that he's a major league caliber starting pitcher with good health and a lot of things like in front of him. So I think it was awesome for him, and I hope he just continues to run with it.
He's been traded so many times throughout his pro career and for some big names, as was the case with the Twins and the Barrios trade. He's only 23 years old. I think that's something that we have to remember, right?
That very much so. I think, the trades and maybe the feeling of never really finding a home in an organization because you're always moving, and maybe there's, some trust factors or, whatever. And then he's young. He's got everything in front of him, and it's nice to see. He's got the weapons now on the mound to be able to succeed. And as much as we've seen him grow in the last year and over the last couple months, I think, that's got to be his goal, is just continue to keep getting better. And if he does that, he's going to be in a really good spot. And the Twins, we're going to be in a great spot.
He was the 27th man, so he was going to go back down. But going back down to the minor leagues is never easy. But for him, based on what he went through yesterday, was the blow not as hard as it normally is when you get that news?
I would think he's feeling really good after yesterday, as he should. So, in this game, especially in starting pitching in Major League Baseball 2024, if you're the sixth man, if you're the man on deck, it's it feels like guys are getting injured, they're getting banged up, just all across the league. So he's got to continue to work, but he's also got to stay ready, because that call can happen at any time.
As for the first game, Joe Ryan, let's not forget about it. And like you said at the top, the game went 12 innings. There were some big swings. But the guy that started was a significant part in that game yesterday, struck out a career-high 12. Was that the best you've seen Joe Ryan pitch?
It's one of the best. I think, whether it was last year Milwaukee, last year Boston, but this is, it's really good. And, just what we were talking a little about bit about with Simeon. He is getting better. I feel Joe Ryan's getting better. You know, he's added a short little sweeper to go with, or a short slider to go with the sweeper. And yesterday, you know, the fastball splitty, you know, were working. So he's got real weapons. When he goes fastball split, he can play a true north-south game. And then with the sweeper and the smaller slider, he can go east-west. So I feel like he continues to grow, and he's kind of building an arsenal that can attack different hitters and their weaknesses.
Now, Kevin Gausman is maybe an exception in today's game, that a starting pitcher that throws fastball splitter that can really get by. I know his velo's down this season, but I'm talking about the last couple of years. That can really get by and dominate with those two pitches. For Joe Ryan, he had those two, but the breaking balls, he needed those, right, to incorporate a bit more into his arsenal?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And then, you know, he's continuing to work on just maintaining the velocity. And I think with what's come with that is, you know, you're looking on the board at times, some of those four-seamers, he's up there at, you know, 95 miles an hour. And so he continues to work. He continues to get better. And that's exactly what we want to see out of our guys.
Offensively, what clicked yesterday? I think both in both games, because we know that the team batting average has been down. The strikeout rate remains high. But finally, we saw some clutch at-bats, even the Jeffers at-bat, the one that went down the third baseline. It was a 12-pitch at-bat. Contact was made, and good things happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I think, you know, we're down yesterday in the eighth. Jeffers comes in, pinch hits, and hits the bomb off of Miller. And, you know, I felt like from that point, that kind of started up, you know, better at-bats all throughout. And we get into those games. There were a lot. I mean, you go 12 innings. There's so many critical plays. But I thought something else that was special was Buxton gets ready. He comes in. He pinch runs. Vasquez gets the bunt down. I thought Torkelson came in, you know, playing first for Detroit, made a good play. But, you know, it's very rare in this game you see somebody with Buxton's speed, but he's got the instincts. I thought Buxton's break on it was outstanding. Torkelson didn't do anything wrong, and Buxton just ends up beating the throw there, and I think that kind of set the tone a little bit. Austin comes up and walks, and then obviously, you know, Jeffers with the ball down the line, and we were able to break it open from there. So, you know, we've got to continue to try to string together good at-bats. We've got to stay in the zone. We've got to get the ball in play a little bit more, but hopefully we're starting to turn the corner in some of those areas.
One more thought on Buxton with that moment when he came at a run that will take our first break. Why have him run once Miranda got the second and not when Miranda reached to begin with?
Yeah, we were actually discussing that, you know, on the bench. We talked about that. We were in that situation just going to wait until Miranda got into scoring position. We also were thinking about using Buxton to hit, you know, as well. But once we got into scoring position, we wanted to put Buxton out there in case we did get a hit to make sure we would score.
We'll take our first break on our Sunday show. When we come back, we'll dissect another strength from this Twins team early on. That has been the bullpen. It's Inside Twins with Jace Tingler, brought to you by Killer Brew Root Beer. And our Sunday show continues next on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to Inside Twins, brought to you by Killer Brew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Corey Prove is back with Twins bench coach Jace Tingler. Twins and the Tigers, fourth and final game coming up from Detroit in just a little bit. We did not touch on this, Jace, in our first segment, but if you look at some game-wide numbers, and the Twins bullpen is leading the way in strikeout rate, they're up there in WAR. And I say that because I don't know how you felt, but going into the year, losing Jhoan Duran, losing Justin Topa, losing Caleb Thielbar was going to force some other guys into different roles. But to their credit, that's been among the best groups in baseball.
Yeah, don't jinx it. Those guys have been, you know, fantastic. They've kept us, you know, in games. And then, you know, yesterday, some guys that normally aren't, you know, maybe finishing out some of the games, and it's literally been all the guys. They've all come in, they've done their job, you know, which is critical. And to your point, yeah, like losing Duran, Topa, Thielbar, et cetera, and how we've had other guys just step up and fill spots. Duarte was throwing the ball well. He's down now. And so we've just had, you know, more guys continue to step up, and that's what we're going to need, especially when you're playing 162 games. You have to have a group of people step up, and so far that's what we've gotten.
Cole Sands also throwing harder, picked up his second big league save yesterday in game two. What do you attribute that to?
Cole is secretly is just one of the nastiest pitchers we have. He's worked hard. He's, you know, spent some time in the offseason. He's been out at Tread. He's been working with Pete and Colby and the pitching group. He's developed some new pitches. And so, you know, the fastball's playing up, the splitty, the curveball. He's got real weapons. I think he's leading our bullpen in Ks per nine. And so to see him finish the game yesterday, I felt good once he was you know, it looked like his delivery was good. He was going to get the ball in the zone, and you got a lot of confidence in him.
Before Sands, Cody Funderburk came in. Afterwards, Richardson got some key outs late as well. And I thought it was an honest answer when Cody was asked his first outing at Target Field. Command wasn't there. After the game, he said, "Look, I'm a human being. It was my first home opener, pitching in front of 35,000. Yeah, it got to me a little bit. That was kind of refreshing to hear."
Yeah, no, it's real. So, you know, with Fundy, I think ever since that first one, you know, honestly, he's been much more in the strike zone. I don't think it's really ever a question or guy's going to hit him. His stuff is really good. And I think what we're finding, too, he's pitching more frequently. And the more frequently he pitches, I think it's a little easier for him to find his release point, for him to find his rhythm, find his timing. And you know, so far he's done a great job.
I want to give some people some insight into something that I have the luxury to see on most days that many don't. And that's the work that you and Tony Diaz are doing every single day with the group defensively on the infield, hitting ground ball after ground ball. And Eddie Julian may be a game-saving play he made late last night on that smash off the bat of Baez that could have scored two runs if that ball gets through. So Glenn Perkins and I on the telecast, Chase, yesterday saying two things. One, I don't know if Eddie Julian can make that play last year. And two, even if he has the chance to make that play because he was often taken out late in games defensively, but then in September, that did not happen. So can you speak to the improvement you have seen from Eddie Julian defensively since his debut year?
Yeah, I think, you know, from last year to this year, and I think if you even look back, you know, 2 years from now, you know, when I first laid eyes on him, I think it's, A, you know, most importantly, it's been a huge turnaround. It's credit to Eddie. Eddie shows up every single day. He's ready for his defensive routine. The organization, the minor league guys, the infield instructors, Tucker, Frawley, and Smarlak down there in St. Paul, they built some programs. We're just continuing those programs. And so we do a lot of backhands with Eddie, but the main thing is he shows up every single day. He knew it was something he needed to work at, and he's taken a weakness in his game probably from a year or two ago, and he's arguably turned that into a strength. I was messing around with him the other day. I said, like, you're so messed up right now. Like, you're a defensive specialist, and all you can hit are lefties. And so, you know, I think yesterday may have turned it around. We, you know, he took some really good swings off the righties. But, you know, to your point, yes, he's improved. And he's going to continue to improve because he wants to be great at it.
So the team of people that is making him a better defender, can those same people help him with his helmet and keep that on his head when he takes a big swing?
That is Derek Showman's job. It's that's all Showman, so you're gonna have to take that up with him.
All right, so that's the assistant hitting coach. He's gonna work on that, keeping Julian's helmet on his head. Rocco, during the homestand, was asked about the lack of contact and the struggles with runners in scoring position collectively from the team offensively, and he said we've got to find a way to move the ball forward. Since he said that, have you seen any guys adjust with their swing, with two strikes, to try to make more contact, like Jeffers even did last night?
Yeah, I do. We've seen some small improvements in that area, but I still think we have a ways to go. I think also, you know, it helps. You start putting maybe a couple more contact-oriented guys in the lineup. I think Austin Martin is one that comes to mind, and it's been great seeing him work counts, get the ball in play, bounce around the field, be a dynamic athlete. But I think, like, overall, especially, why we're going to be lacking some fire, some thunder, whether it's Correa and Royce and some other guys out of the lineup. So up and down, we've collectively got to be tougher. We've got to get the ball in play. We're going to have to run a little bit more. We're going to have to move the ball. We may have to move runners over. We may have to play some situational baseball at times. But those are the things that we're going to have to do if we want to play winning baseball.
Jair Camargo joined the team yesterday. We haven't seen him yet in a big league game. Is he going to catch only in emergency situations, or could you see a scenario where he draws a start here at some point behind the plate?
You don't rule anything out. I mean, you know, when we started a couple weeks ago, Austin Martin was come up to play against lefties and maybe to pinch run and maybe to defend late. And things change, and they change quickly. So I don't feel comfortable saying, hey, here's the plan, because the way things are going, things change quickly.
We'll take our final break on our Sunday show, come back and wrap things up with Jace Tingler in a moment. It's Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, on your home for Twins baseball.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
Welcome back to our final segment of Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Corey Provis back with Twins bench coach Jace Tingler. Twins and the Tigers coming up in just a bit. Bailey Ober today for the Twins and Jack Flaherty on the mound for Detroit. A big topic away from the team has been the spike in injuries, specifically to starting pitchers across the game. We're seeing big names, Jace, being lost for the season into next season due to increased elbow injury and elbow surgery. Well, what's your read on that as you study that hot topic right now about the game? And you attribute it to just one thing while we're seeing some big names in our sport, unfortunately, being done for the year.
Well, I don't think we have enough time to cover this topic. It's a tremendous topic. I think yes, we are seeing a lot of injuries right now. I think it's been highlighted this year because it's been maybe some of the number ones or some of the top pitchers in the league. I'm not going to necessarily say it's huge numbers. I think the numbers are probably pretty equivalent to the years in the past, but I do think it's probably been bigger names. With that being said, I think a lot of people point at things. Is it the pitch clock? I don't know if we can say. Is it the spike in velocity? Maybe it is. I don't know. But at the same time, we just talked about Semien. And when he was throwing 89, 90, 91, quite frankly, and I think he would tell you this, he's going to struggle to get major league hitters out. Now that he's throwing 95, the secondary pitches are thrown harder and they're more effective. You see him retire 14 major league hitters in a row. So they go hand in hand. You've got to have pretty good arm speed and you've got to have velocity in the pitches in general. To get major league hitters out, have to be firm. So guys are trying to get velo so they can pitch well, they can dominate in the major leagues. And if not, it's really hard to pitch up here. So I don't know the answer, but I do think the biggest issue is we're losing some of the bigger names or the star pitchers in the game right now. And I think it's something we should be looking at.
Last year, the popular pitch we saw in the game was a sweeper. Mike Petriello from MLB.com believes that this year there's going to be more splitters. But not every arm is designed the same. So every arm should not, I'm guessing, as you look at it, just start throwing a sweeper to join in on the fun, correct?
Yeah, and that's where the pitching guys and the pitching groups are studying pitchers and how pitchers' arm actions work and what pitches are going to work best for their profile. So that's kind of where it starts. There's a huge team that goes into it, and all the teams have big groups working on this, and that's why you're seeing pitching truly at a premium, and pitching is kind of dominating. It's probably a little bit ahead of the hitting right now.
I mean, Joe Ryan, we touched on his name at the top. I mean, look at the way he went yesterday. Increased velo has been a part of that, correct?
Yeah, it really is. I think, like, when you look at guys start to take significant jumps from a year to year and they continue to get better, I think, yeah, they add new pitches. But I also think they either maintain or gain a little bit of velo. And it's, I think people quickly want to look at the velo of the fastball, and that's fine. But we also look at the velo gains in the secondary pitches. You know, once they start throwing their slider a little bit harder, their changeup, you know, most of the information says that, you know, the harder the pitch, the better statistically outcome you're going to get.
We have about 90 seconds left. Let's finish up with a thought or two on today's starting pitcher for the Twins. What are you going to be looking for Bailey Ober early on to see if he has his good stuff going today?
I want to see him build on his last start, you know, which was really encouraging and good. So he had a really good spring training. The ball was coming out of his hand well. You know, I think he just ran into a tough matchup, you know, with the Royals that day, and he probably didn't have his best stuff. So want to see him build some more confidence on his last outing. Go out and give us a chance to win.
In terms of pitch count, I mean, thinking back to spring training, did the guys go enough in terms of getting that pitch count high to a certain number that when you get to the regular season that these guys are ready to go 90, 95, 100 in April?
Yeah, I think we kind of set or met the marks that we wanted to get our guys to. Pete's pretty specific in building out their programs. And, you know, we went into the year knowing that their first start, they weren't going to go 100 pitches. We were looking around that 75, 80 pitch mark. And so now that we're getting close to our third and fourth starts, you know, these guys, if they're throwing the ball well and the weather's nice and things are clicking, we should be around that 100 pitch mark.
Chase, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Good luck today.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
Chase Tingler, we thank him for his time on this Sunday. Twins and the Tigers, game four is coming up. Lexi Schweinert's pregame show is next right here on your home for Minnesota Twins baseball.
You have been listening to Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.